Life is too short for a bad steak. The Heart of Rural America is presented to you by All American Angus Beef, a guaranteed five-star restaurant quality beef eating experience from family ranches like mine, available only at bidonbeef.com. When you bid on beef with us, you're not just scoring sizzling steaks and burgers. You're supporting an America First agenda where beef-loving families can bid and buy with confidence, knowing exactly where their beef comes from. Join our growing community at bidonbeef.com and use code RADKEY for $10 off your next auction.
Welcome to the Heart of Rural America podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Radke, an American cattle rancher and motivational speaker, raising my kids and writing children's books in South Dakota. There's a David and Goliath story unfolding in agriculture today, and I don't know about you, but my money is on the underdog, the hardworking folks who value faith, family, freedom, and their farming communities. This show will highlight the untold stories of these resilient and determined families who I have the great pleasure of meeting in my travels across this nation as an agricultural speaker. It is my hope that their stories will remind us to live with great courage because we are not alone in this fight to keep producers on the land and meat, dairy, and eggs on the dinner table. Now let's hit the dusty trail together as we uncover the heart of rural America.
Welcome to your show. Here's my mom, Amanda Radke.
Hey everyone, Amanda Radke back for another episode of the Heart of Rural America podcast with an exciting episode straight from the Black Hills Stock Show at the Property Rights Rally hosted by the South Dakota Stock Growers Association. I was honored to be one of the speaker, and in this two-part episode, we're going to share highlights from that event. First up, we have Charles and Heather Maud who talk about their property rights battle with a fence line dispute that has led to much turmoil in their life, but the tides are turning and now they are well on their way to not only righting the wrongs that their own family experienced, but they are on a mission to ensure that no one else has to experience what they endured themselves. I'm pleased today to be joining you from the South Dakota State Capitol, where Heather Maud and myself will both be testifying on a bill, HJR 5001, which is a constitutional amendment to allow the people of South Dakota the final say on property rights, meaning your land is your land, and you get to say on whether we finally end eminent domain for private gain once and for all. You can see the updates on that bill at my new website, AmericanLandAndLegacy.org. Now let's get to Charles and Heather's speech.
I guess just to kind of catch you up to speed, if you don't know who we are, back in March 29th of 2024, we were asked or approached by the federal by a U.S. Forest Service Ranger that we had a land dispute on our river bottom where our center pivot is. And so we went ahead and met with them later. Come to find out he had no initiative at all to try to fix it. He was really looking for a leg up. And later on in June, we were indicted with federal criminal charges separately, which was 10 years in prison apiece. I can't remember the fine. $250,000 fine apiece. So we kind of fought that for a few months, almost a year. And then when the Trump administration got into power, Secretary Rawlins finally caught wind of it through through the grapevine, through social media, honestly, and asked us to come to Washington, D.C. to be part of a press conference where she took care of those charges for us. And at that time, you know, that would have been in about the 1st of May 2025, we were relieved of criminal charges. So that still left. They were talking of bringing civil charges. We worked all the way through summer. In fact, at the Stock Growers Convention, we still had those that weighed upon us of what that looked like and what they were going to bring to us. It took us until almost, so it was mid-August, I think it was, first part of August, mid-August, someplace in there, to finally get rid of those. And our attorney, Brett Tolman, he lives up at Hill City. He's kind of big into the Trump administration, was able to finally get rid of those charges. But in this whole process, through the summer, they thought we were using the land. We had never used the land. And finally, we made it enough of a rustle again that about 1st September, we were able to finally put boots on the ground and go to using that land. And unfortunately, we kept working with Secretary Rawlins and directly with Rawlins they tried to do some pretty odd things as bureaucracy falls down from the top to us. There were some people in the middle that wanted to see it done differently, and they found themselves without a job and furloughed. She didn't take that very lightly. And so we just got to remember that if you can get to the top, those people will listen right now. The ones at the bottom may still be corrupt. So I'll turn it over to Heather, and she'll kind of take it from there.
That's everything I was going to say. So just to reiterate a little bit, a lot of people thought when we stood on that stage with Secretary Rollins last May that that fixed our problem. But when you are facing criminal felony charges, you can't resolve an issue with a government agency. That's something we learned. I'm sure that was strategic in our case. So when the criminal charges were dropped, we went back to March 2024, where you then determine, A, is there a problem, and B, how do we resolve it? And when the Forest Service did not adhere to their boss's wishes with regard to allowing Charles to continue existing practices until she had determined a course of resolution with us, that set some other things in motion. And I was then told I would work directly with the chief of the Forest Service. His name is Tom Schultz. And he and I are who came up with the plan of how to resolve our issue. And I remember he asked me, would you like to trade your acres on our side of the fence for our acres on your side of the fence? And during the one meeting we had with the management side of Forest Service before they criminally indicted us, that was the solution Charles and I proposed. And I remember telling Chief Schultz, no, I wouldn't anymore. And he said, well, how do we fix this? And he and I determined that we should utilize the Small Tracts Act, which says that a small isolated piece of land that meets certain requirements, one of which being if it has been cultivated or tilled, it does not meet the merits to become natural grassland. And our records show that this land has been cultivated and tilled since at least 1912. So the Maud family technically should have been offered the opportunity to purchase these lots by the Forest Service's own agency rules and records back when the formation of the natural grasslands occurred. So Chief Schultz agreed with that, and we worked. He said he'd have it to me in 90 days. And I remember we were at the Western Junior Livestock Show, and our son was walking in the ring with his last calf, and I got the appraisal on it. And I guess that was just kind of crazy to have gone through it, and here it was. We had the opportunity to buy it. We all have an opinion on whether or not we should have to buy this. I have one too. But I will tell you that when you go through something like this, and when you do have an opportunity presented to get to an end to it, you have to take that into consideration also. And so we did go along with the opportunity to buy it. We got the appraisal the first week of October. They asked if they could send us an invoice, and I said no. We would like to go through a title company. So we did that. We sat down at the title company the first week in December and signed on these two small irregular government lots where this fence was not on the exact property line. And then about a month ago, we actually received those deeds in the mail. So this is our first time speaking since that has all wrapped up. And I will tell you what a relief and what a blessing. I want to thank everyone that supported us throughout this entire process. It was a process, but God was certainly in it, preparing us to go through it. It was a wild ride, but frankly, this is probably a lot faster than it would have been if they hadn't exasperated this to such an epic level of unnecessarity. So we sit here now with it resolved, and now we have a lot of people that seem to think that we're whole. I mean, like, sorry for the brief misunderstanding, but you guys have a great life. And that's not the case for us. And we also to ensure that this does not happen again, because this was completely unnecessary. The odds of getting criminal felony charges dropped are between 1 and 5%. So you tell me how out of line this was. They got them dropped against us. So at this point, we now move forward. Chad mentioned we start next week in trying to determine how we protect ourselves from retribution from future administrations. There is a lot of evidence that shows that once you are in an agency's sights, they're not going to give up, and there is more than likely more than one file on us. And I am sure the people that brought this the first time, we have no idea where they are. We still cannot get that answer, but that we will face something like this again unless we make positive change. And we want to set that precedent, not only for our own family, but for everyone else in this room and everybody else that is a public lands user. So that's where we're at right now, and we're just diving into that. We have 3 years left administration. We hope to take full advantage of that. And then, I mean, hopefully we get another one that is proactive when it comes to working for, with, and by the people, but we have no guarantee of that. So we see this as a 3-year process. So that's our focus now. Some things that we've learned in this, and Shad mentioned some of these other families. I think there's a concentrated attack, multifaceted concentrated attack on historic property rights, because when you face something like this, if you can get a partner of justice and your government officials to do what is right, the right thing typically involves going back to the time in which the act began and looking at what the were at that time. Charles' family purchased the property on three sides of this in around 1910. So you have to go back and look, and we have rights from 1910. Now, they were a lot stronger for the private individual in 1910. So there is a concentrated effort to go after generational property right issues, because if they can get rid of us, those that purchase property later do not have near as much strength or value in the rights they hold compared to those with truly historic rights. We see that with the King family, another very historic family, Mr. Grief. We have these Potter Valley people in California, all very old historical farming and ranching communities. You look
near
across the nation,
much strength
and it just
value.
Continues to be very, very focused and targeted on long-time property rights situations. I'd like to just draw your attention to that. Of your rights, if you find yourself in a situation, you need to do your research on the Department of Justice side and on the property rights side, because in many, many cases, you go back to the point in which that is important. And then we need to ensure that we elect people that are willing and have a backbone to stand up for that on our behalf. And I will tell you that 2 out of 3 of our members of Congress wouldn't do it for us. And only one Republican candidate for governor, John Hanson, would. So you bear that in mind, but we should be a well-informed voting people. And that is worth noting, that we had a historical farming and ranching family fighting for our lives, and 2 out of 3 congressional members just sat on the sidelines. Other states helped. Yep. And these men that now want to run our state in the elected position of governor, it was too politically, what was the word?
Risky.
Too politically risky to back the mods. Some other things, being able to operate it again was September, the first week of September. Charles got to plant, he put winter wheat on it, and I got to sit up on the hill and watch him, and that was the goal. Because when you walk across, when they surveyed this originally in April 2024, it was planted to hay barley, and they staked T-posts all the way down their line and put piles of rocks at the corner of each of these lots and drove all over our crop. And our entire place since 1912 was built around this irrigated property. This was the beginning, and this is what everything was built around. And I got to be the woman that walked across the fifth generation of the family to own and operate it with him. And that's a form of disrespect to do that to a farmer. And it was blatant. And when a few months later, they then decided, my name is not listed on the property. I'm not an adjoining property owner because he owned it before we were married. My name's not on the Forest Service permit. So that frustrated me to walk across there with Charles, and then they tried to take me away from my kids for 10 years. And there isn't a word for exactly what that is, but the motivating factor there is something they didn't calculate in. We all just need to be aware of that too, that there are good individual people in government, and we all find some way to contribute to these things. You don't have to be at the forerunner. We didn't plan to be, but we still come. We volunteered our time to come and talk to you about this today. And I think every one of us needs to, you need to be involved and support something like this, because they're after all of us collectively and individually.
Just one of the things that kind of comes to mind as she talks about that is, I know we look out across this crowd and it's aging, unfortunately, but stay home and do the chores, let that young generation go and fight. They have a lot of ideas. They know how things work with the media and the internet and the connections that are now so important. So just make that your chore day, I guess, and let that young generation go and learn how to fight, because that'll last way longer than this older generation. But and we just thank you all for supporting us and coming today, and we'll be around here for questions. So thank you.
You guys know, as a beef girl, I take grilling very seriously around here, and I've been using Redmond Real Salt for over a decade to season my steaks and burgers. It's unrefined, ancient sea salt, exactly as nature made it. It contains 60-plus naturally occurring trace minerals, and it truly brings out the best of the beef we raise at home on the ranch. This American family-owned business also focuses on livestock products. And at Radke Land and Cattle, we are proud to use the beneficial Redmond Real Salt Minerals to get back to the basics and help our cattle improve fertility, immunity, and feed efficiency. It's natural, simple, and effective for people and livestock. Discover more at redmondagriculture.com and redmondlife.com and use code RADKE to save. Or contact a local dealer and mention my name for a special discount.
I wanted to thank Doris and the girls and RCAF and South Coast Stock Horse for putting this together for us. And it's a world of worthwhile information that you're going to get here today. Chad and the rest of the crew are going to have stuff. And I want you to ask questions, take the questions away, that the answers they give you and pass them around with everybody else.
So many of you know, South Dakota Stock Growers Organization is the oldest cattle organization in the United States. We were established in the 1860s in western South Dakota to oversee the brands. It was incorporated with the state of South Dakota in 1893, and we continue today to support brands, property rights, taxation. You will hear from all three of these speakers that our government is overreaching. We are the people. We need to open our mouths. So with that being said, Amanda and I met Amanda a long time ago, became instant friends, which I don't think she has an enemy. She's a wonderful public speaker. Her and her family ranch near Letcher. They raise purebred bulls. She writes children's books. She's all over the United States speaking. And when I went to the property rights rally, as I have in the past, she kicks us out of the park, and there's no one better to talk for us on our property rights and the bills that are going through South Dakota right now than Amanda. Please welcome Amanda Radke.
Well, thank you, Doris. I don't know if you guys know how hard she works, but we got to watch history in real time today. This is one of the issues she watches very, very closely. So let's give Doris a round of applause for her passion. It's kind of a special day for me. 30 years ago at this Black Hills Stock Show, I sold my first bull alongside my mom and dad. Dave and Peggy Knowles are with us today. I also gave my very first speech here when I was 6 years old at the Black Hills Stock Show. So I get to do what I do today because those two understood what it meant to get a kid and develop a kid and drag her across the country and teach her how to run her mouth. So sorry, mom and dad, but thank them very much. Give them a round of applause. As my dad says, I give him a lot of gray hairs and I have plenty to worry about, but it's an honor to have them here with me today as well. I wanted to give you guys a quick update of what's going on in Pierre. As many of you guys know, I've really focused on property rights the last several years, largely because a $10 billion Green New Deal carbon pipeline was going to come into my backyard. I'm pleased to say that the grassroots landowner movement continues to grow and pick up steam. We have achieved a lot of victories in the last couple of years. Casey Crabtree, who is running for Congress, you heard him speak about the Republican Party and standing for free and open markets. And yet it was Casey Crabtree that authored SB 201, the Landowner Bill of Rights, that would have taken away local control and chipped away at your property rights. The people of South Dakota did not like that bill. And in 90 short days, 500 volunteers on their own time and own dime collected 38,000 signatures when we needed 17,000 signatures. Got it on the ballot, referred it as referred law 21. We kicked the butt out of that RL21. We beat it in 65 of 66 counties with 60% of the vote. And we voted out 12 legislators who pushed that bad piece of legislation. And so that was the beginning of it. Yes. It was those victories that was because of so many of you getting out and telling the story of how important property rights are, that we were then able to take control of the House and the Senate and to have true patriots, conservatives who understand liberty and property rights and freedom, really for the first time in a very long time, in control in our state capitol. That resulted in friendly committee hearings and friendly bills going to friendly committees and getting to the floor when they used to die. One of those bills that we were able to get across the finish line last year effectively took the gun that was pointed at 160 landowners that were condemned for eminent domain for that Green New Deal pipeline and put it to bed once and for all. That bill was HB 1052, which officially eliminated eminent domain for CO2 pipelines in the state of South Dakota. Now, since then, there's been many attacks for our property rights that we've been aware of. In the Big Beautiful Bill, there was a federal preemption to allow for eminent domain for CO2 pipelines from the federal government. There was also a $10 million pay-to-play that if a company was rich enough, they could come and pay $10 million and cut you out of the conversation and fast track their permitting process to get their projects through without your say. We were able to stop that. No sooner did we fly to DC and object that line, Big Beautiful Bill, then we found out about Dusty Johnson, a bill called HR 4135, which was basically written as it the exact opposite of what we did with RL 21. Once again, it would have taken the control of the permitting process to the federal level for things like data centers and CO2 pipelines, and would have pushed a one-size-fits-all rubber-stamped process for permitting. We fought that, and so far that bill hasn't moved, but it is still in the books. So that's HR 4135. I would encourage you to reach out to the congressman and tell him that piece of legislation needs to be stopped dead in its tracks. It's not good legislation. It needs to go. Fast forward, we're looking at the upcoming legislative session. We're looking at a primary season where I have been told there's been a candidate school to recruit candidates to run for the legislature who will go on an economic development tour where they don't care about your property rights. They believe in using taxpayer dollars to fund big corporations at the expense of you and I. If they are successful in taking the House and Senate back, you're going to see things like 1052 get undone right away. And so we are very aware of that, that come June, a lot of things could change, maybe not for the better, unless you and I stay engaged, recruit good candidates, back good candidates. You heard some very good candidates here speak on the floor today, including Lauren Nelson and Michaela Voida are both going to have very, very big primary races, and they're going to need support because those are really good conservative legislators that need to stay in Pierre working in the Senate. Fast forward to January. It's been a whirlwind in Pierre. Like Doris said, we kicked things off the day before the legislative session with our fourth annual property rights rally. It was our second biggest ever. And, you know, I genuinely thought now that the CO2 pipeline has died down, now that that threat has disappeared, you know, maybe this movement would quiet down as well. And yet we had about 400 people there that day. The energy was high. And the exciting thing to me was half of the faces I didn't recognize. That means there are new people coming to the conversation. I am hearing from people in every corner of the state of South Dakota who are facing property rights issues, whether it's solar, wind, data centers, you name it. People really just want to say in the conversation. Now, I personally have been painted as anti-business, anti-agriculture, anti-economic development, to which I say there is a difference between government-funded rolling out the red carpet for corporate companies to come in on the backs of you and I and to take what is not theirs versus free market capitalism, where you and I can build businesses, where you and I can compete in the free and fair market, and where you and I, the ranchers and the farmers in this room, where agriculture is king and cows are king and cows outnumber people 4-1 and beef is king in South Dakota, where we get recognized for building this state and making it the great state that it is.
Working cattle can be stressful at times, but the job is made so much easier with equipment that is safe, strong, and simply designed. I highly recommend Real Tough Livestock Equipment for all your working facility needs. We just installed the deluxe chute at Radke Land and Cattle, and it has been an absolute game changer as we run cows through our chute during AI season. It's durable and easy to use, and it's made to last a lifetime. Real Tough offers a wide range of products, including calving barns, panels, loading chutes, tubs, alleys, and portable working systems. Manufactured in the U.S. of A., Real Tough is family-owned and operated. Their commitment to helping farm and ranch families truly exemplifies what this show is all about. Learn more at realtough.com, that's T-U-F-F, and be sure to tell them Amanda sent you to receive an extra bonus with your order. Let's get you some iconic green Real Tough equipment headed your way. I promise you're going to love it.
This show is made possible with the support of CK6 Consulting, the trusted name in nation-leading Angus genetics, where the focus is connecting great people to great cattle. Stay ahead of the curve by following CK6 sales at ck6consulting.com or reach out to the CK6 team, including Chris Earle, Wes Tiemann, Cody Fleeman, or myself. Ready to take your program to the next level? Visit ck6source.com, your gateway to the best in performance-driven Angus bulls on the market.
And so looking ahead, a few issues that I'm particularly watching. Number one, yesterday, a very bad bill introduced by Kent Rowe would have given a 50-year tax exemption to data centers. So at a time when we're getting taxed out of our homes and off of our land and property taxes are skyrocketing, we're talking about giving companies that will likely be obsolete in 10 years because I hear Elon Musk is heading on data centers to space, so we don't really need the South Dakota Prairie to build these things. They were going to give a 50-year tax exemption. Now, I have been told from one of my dear friends, Senator Lopke, that he says if it gets smoked out, which it very likely could be getting smoked out on the House floor as we speak. I'm not sure if anybody's keeping an eye on that. Doris, do you know that? HB 1005 is the 50-year tax exemption. We'll see if they have the votes. What happens, if you're not familiar, it failed in committee yesterday, so they can smoke it out on the floor. And if they get enough votes, then they can go and debate and vote again on the House floor as the body. So I know there's some efforts to smoke that out, but Liberty won yesterday with the defeat of 1005. A few other issues that I'm looking at. One is House Joint Resolution 5001. Oh, I should have said what I was going to say about Senator Lopke. He said if it does happen to get over to the Senate floor, the number one thing he's going to do is propose an amendment that all of agriculture gets sales tax exemptions if data centers do. So you can let him know you support that motion, and then all the guys that oppose it will be for it, and all the guys that are proponents will be against it. It'll be really interesting to watch and see. So the House Joint Resolution 5001 is a resolution to finally put this property rights battle hopefully to rest. That resolution would officially fortify rights into the state constitution once and for all. That resolution would eliminate eminent domain for private gain. And so what we're asking the legislature to do is to vote on the language so we can get it on the ballot. We can get it on the ballot with just signatures, but we thought it would be best to have a lot of eyeballs on this language, to get a lot of input. There's been over 1,000 hours put into this resolution, over a dozen constitutional lawyers that have looked at it. We've developed it very carefully because changing the Constitution is not something we want to take lightly, right? It's very, very important to get it absolutely just right. So if the legislature passes it, it would go on the ballot this election, and then the people of South Dakota could have the final say. We believe the people of South Dakota will get it right, and that once and for all, we can go back home to our ranches and not feel like sitting ducks, so that we can say to a private company that we don't want to do business with, no, thank you. Please go around. So really excited about that. A lot of enthusiasm for 5001. It went through the committee and passed 10-3. It got to the House floor, and we figured it would be a very tight vote. And so Representative Liz May, who some of you guys might know, a dear friend of mine, she got a four-wheeler accident in December, and she was at home not feeling well. And we pulled her out of bed, and she drove 90 miles an hour to get to Pierre to vote for Liberty. And God bless her for being there, because we said, Liz, every vote counts. And we got to the floor, and we had heard that Representative Will Mortensen, of course, who was the author as well, of SB 201, that he was going to bring an amendment. We had communicated to Will, do not play politics with this resolution. It is too important. Leave the bill alone. Every word was precisely selected. Do not play games. Well, he couldn't help himself. And he got on the floor and he proposed an amendment, a one-word amendment to add solely to HJR 5001. That one word solely, again, remember, every word is precise, would expand the definition of who could wiggle in to use eminent domain for private gain. The thing Will wasn't counting on is he didn't think he had the votes to pass the amendment. So him and his little band of rhinos had been told this is a popular issue. It's going to be an election year. You need to get on board, but heck, we need to change it just a bit to make our donors happy. So he didn't have the votes, except he wasn't expecting that five Democrats would also vote for that amendment, and that pushed it over 35 votes to get that amendment through. Now, with everyone in lockstep, the bill itself passed 63-5 off of the House floor. A victory, right? We have a property rights bill in play. I remember the days when we would show up to Pierre in our plaid shirts and blue jeans and get laughed at, and they'd write articles about us because, hey, we were disrupting the decorum of the Capitol. They'll campaign on our livelihoods. They will run ads on how agriculture is important. But if you show up to the Capitol, my, you don't know how we do things here. It's best you go home and let the decisions be made by the people in charge. So we have this property rights bill in play, and yet this poison pill has now brought in partisan politics and all kinds of political games into the mix. Senator Lobke is the prime on the Senate side, Representative Gosch is on the House. It's notable that both of those two gentlemen are from District 23. They're both farmers and ranchers, and I trust them to get this right for the people of South Dakota. So with a commitment to get that amendment and get it back on track, what I need from you guys is to put a lot of pressure on what's going on in Pierre. A lot of these senators are getting upside down because the governor's race is getting into play. There's a lot of games at play. But I'm asking the legislators, put politics aside and prioritize people and good policy. And this is good policy to keep you on the land doing what you do best, to be left alone, to run your business, raise your cattle, and let freedom ring. And so 5-0, yeah, go, thank you. Thanks, Doris, she's got my back. So 5-0-0-1 is the bill that will be going over to the Senate in a couple weeks, and I'll be posting updates on that as well if you ever have any questions. The final bill I want to talk about before I pass it off to the next speaker is called SB 88. SB 88 has been dubbed the Bosley bill. If you guys don't remember Jared and Tara Bosley, when Summit Carbon Solutions came into their property, we call that the invasion. This $10 billion private foreign-backed company came onto their land with armed security. They walked into their house while Tara, Jared's wife, was in the shower, home alone, and she could hear a stranger in her kitchen hollering for her. She watched as they walked across the yard into her shop, and they walked through the whole property. It was 104 degrees that day with a 40-mile-per-hour wind. And this company brought big old trucks and tanks and drills, and they drove through feed yards, opened up gates, drove through shelter belts, destroyed trees, drove into the soybean field, dug a 90-foot hole in the soil for a pipeline that was supposed to go 4 feet deep. Makes you wonder what they were looking for. 90-foot hole dug while armed security surrounded the entire property. Now, that invasive surveying was challenged in the courts. It went all the way to the South Dakota Supreme Court, and in a unanimous decision, after landowners spent 3 years and close to $750,000 to fight it, we got a unanimous Supreme Court decision that no South Dakotan should ever experience an invasive surveying, just like Tara and Jared Bosley had to. Now, unfortunately, there is a law that still exists on the books. That law was passed in 2024 alongside SB 201, the Landowner Bill of Rights, again carried by Representative Will Mortensen and Senator Casey Crabtree. That bill was called HB 1185, which not only allowed for that type of invasive surveying to happen from a private company that you don't want to do business with. Casey Crabtree and Will Mortensen decided your land and property was worth, with all those damages that might be incurred by that invasive type surveying, $500. So HB 1185 is still on the books, which left a choice. Do the landowner spend another 3 years and hundreds of thousands of dollars in courts challenging it? Or does the legislature do their job and align state statute with a unanimous Supreme Court decision? Well, we chose to pursue the latter, and so SB 88 would undo that bad legislation, align it with the Supreme Court decision. We just had a committee, and it got passed through the committee 9-0, which is notable because just 3 years ago, Representative Carla Lenz, who is now running for the Lieutenant Governor of South Dakota, carried a bill, a property rights bill called 1133. In that same committee 3 years ago, that bill got defeated 0-9. So elections have consequences, and we can make a difference when we show up, change the players, change the politicians, and get true servant leaders in those seats. So it's very notable, this 9-0 victory. It headed to the Senate floor yesterday. It passed 34-0. We are winning in South Dakota. That will head over to Carla Lentz, is carrying that once again on the House side. Unless there's some funny business played, I anticipate the Bosley bill will pass with flying colors and be signed by the governor, because, wow, if you could vote against a unanimous Supreme Court decision, what that means as an elected official. But South Dakota is leading the way. I've organized a group called American Land and Legacy that is focused entirely on these property rights issues. I announced it on that January 12th rally. And since we announced that website, I have gotten calls from all over the country, every corner of the country. And farmers and ranchers and landowners are facing attacks on their property rights, just like we are here in South Dakota. And the number one thing that they're asking me is, how are you guys winning? My response is, never bet against South Dakota cattle ranchers. We're tougher than most, and we will fight till the death on some of this stuff. But the reality is, we carry a great responsibility, because what we get done here in South Dakota will spread across the nation. I was in Washington State speaking at an event this summer, and the lobbyist for that organization said to me, Amanda, we get all kinds of crazy policies introduced here in Washington and Oregon and California. And she goes, I tell people, you better hope we win in stopping these bills, because if they pass here, it sets a precedent and it trickles into the middle of America. And I told her, well, in South Dakota, we prioritize conservatism and we prioritize property rights and letting farmers and ranchers do what they do best to keep the nation free and fed. And I told her, you better hope that we win in South Dakota, because if we lose here, there's nowhere else to go. So South Dakota is the beacon of hope for this country. South Dakota is leading the nation on what is right and good and true. South Dakota is showing the people the way and the blueprint of what can happen when everyday citizens get up, lock arms together, get active, and do the right thing. So I'll close with, there's one more friend I want to recognize, Jim Eschenbaum, who is one of the leaders of that RL21 movement. He's one of those guys that stood up to the plate. And with that effort, not only did he help lead RL21, he is now the head of the Republican Party in South Dakota. So please give Jim a round of applause. In closing, I would encourage you guys to continue to get active and get involved. We have precinct members that we need to sign up for. You can ask Jim about that. The Republican convention will be out here in June, and we need good landowners, farmers, ranchers, stewards, conservatives, constitutionalists there to vote for some of those jobs, like attorney general and the treasurer and the auditor. We need you in those seats. We need you on your township, on your county commission, on your school board. We need you to think about running for the legislature. There just simply isn't enough of us. But if every one of us commits some of our time, talent, and treasure to fighting the good fight, man, we are unstoppable. And I'll leave you with one more comment that was very positive to me. And trust me, there's a lot of people. Doris said I don't have any enemies. I think these sheriffs are here because I have a few. They don't like it. The establishment doesn't like when good people stand up and get involved. They like to play their games while nobody is watching. They like to make their decisions and have nobody check them. But if good people get involved, you can make a difference. And I had a lobbyist, not a friendly lobbyist, come up to me and he said, Amanda, I've been in peer for 30 years and I've never seen something like this grassroots movement. It is bigger than anything I've ever seen. And I told him, you keep watching. We're just getting started. So thank you for being a part of that. Thank you, Doris, for having me. And let's have a great rest of our rally.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart for supporting my small business and for your continued support in keeping me on the road fighting for farm and ranch families. I'm thankful to each and every one of you who tune into this show each week. Be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review to let me know how you're liking the content and our guests. Until the next time we meet on the Dusty Trail, I'm Amanda Radke, and this is the Heart of Rural America.